have got the victory. I've got the victory. Listen to this new little chorus.
I've got the
victory. Thank you for the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Thank you for the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Thank you for the victory. I've got the victory. I got the victory. Okay, let's try it, everybody. I've got the victory. Well, thank you for the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. One more time. I've got the victory. Thank you for the victory. I've got the victory. I got the victory. Praise God. And that's what we're singing about tonight.
Amen.
That we have been made more than conquerors through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. Not through fast singing. Not through the beat of the drum and the wang of the guitar. No, we've been made more than conquerors through Christ. We haven't been built on a church with just a personality. We're not built on personalities. But we're in a church that's built on the rock. Through Christ that strengtheneth us. Gives us the victory. Aren't you glad to know Jesus tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. And God is a great God. I want to preach for a couple of minutes tonight. Well, more than that, probably. 3 or 4 minutes. Maybe 5. I want to direct your attention to John the 20th chapter. I caught a cold while I was in Ohio and it settled in my throat. That's why I didn't much want to try to preach tonight. But God being our help, we'll do our best. Something about those padded pews Brother Mickey was talking about a while ago. I preached for Brother Greer up in Paragould, and he just padded his pews when I'd preached for him. He said, Brother Andy, come here, I want to show you something. Took me over there and showed me his altar and said, these new padded pews, I put them in here for all the folks that like to sleep in church. He said, you know, the Bible says this is the rest wherein the weary can rest.
Uh-huh.
He said, every time I get up to preach, some of them go to sleep, so I want them to be comfortable while they sleep. Is that why you put new pads on them? Make all those that go to sleep while you're preaching comfortable.
I can feel bad.
Praise God. But I think that this is a beautiful auditorium tonight. Brand new padded pews. Brand new souls in the altar.
Hallelujah.
Brand new Word of God. Word of God don't get old, does it, Brother Frank?
Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something new in it every time you read it.
That's it.
And some of you folks have been living for God many years, you still pick up your Bible and read something new out of it. And most likely it's right in the place where you read before. You might even have it underlined with a red paper. But there's still something new about the Word of God every time you read it. Hallelujah. I'm glad to have the Word of God brand new and alive. Hallelujah. Set over here in John the 20th chapter, in verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen, the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead.
Then the disciples went again into their own home. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You got for the word of God tonight?
Amen.
Well, let's just thank God for it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this word. Hallelujah. Quick and powerful. Sharp. Any two-edged sword. Let it bless us tonight, Jesus, we ask in your name.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
My wife and I attended a Sunday school conference in the district the other day. On the way back to the revival where we was preaching, we stopped to grab a bite to eat. And I noticed the napkins on the table. They wasn't just your fine linen napkins, but in this particular place where we was eating, they were hand towels. They had hand towels folded up and put on the table. I guess they was expecting sloppy folks like me to eat there.
Amen.
You always tell when you have a good meal because you got ketchup down the front of your shirt, got mustard over here and gravy over here. That's when you've enjoyed your meal. Kind of reminded me of when we was at home. I don't know if any of you folks did like this or not, but did y'all ever have the old towel? When you run out of napkins, maybe you couldn't afford fancy napkins. And you just put an old towel on the table.
This right.
Yeah, something like that. Somebody needed to wipe their mouth, they just asked for the towel. Pass the towel down here, would you please? David, they'd wipe their mouth in one corner and then somebody else would want the towel. Did y'all ever do that?
No.
Huh? You done that, Brother Sammy? Man, I would say, wash the. Man, the diapers we've got, you couldn't use like that. My baby don't even know what diapers is. If they're not plastic and don't have tapes on them, he don't think he's got a diaper on. We ran out of diapers here the other day. So Joy tried to put a cloth diaper on him. That poor kid didn't know what was going on. He thought he was being strangled or something. She had that thing tied in knots, and then she had it folded over, put it on him, he crawled, and it fell off. I'd end up go buying some pants. But we passed the towel. Everybody got to wipe their mouth that way. But I got to noticing after we'd eat that meal, and when we got through, we had gone through sitting there, and it had a setting of about six plates. My wife and I and Justin had somehow managed to use just about every napkin on that table. When we got through, and the napkins, there was a couple of them on the floor, a couple of them on the table, two or three of them in the plate and scattered around. They wouldn't fold it at all. And at that time is when the waitress come and asked if she'd take our plates because she could tell by the wreck that we were sitting around that we was through. She could tell by all the stuff that was on the floor that we had done. Justin, he thinks things ought to go on the floor instead of in his mouth. If it can't go on his hair, on his head, it goes on the floor. So she came and took our plates away. But as napkins laying there left an impression on my mind, and I got to thinking back in the scripture somewhere, it talks about a napkin, a special napkin. So I went and found it, and it led me here to where I read tonight. John the 20th chapter and verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head. But this particular napkin was not found in a restaurant, but it was found in a sepulcher, out in a cemetery.
That's right.
That one tomb where they had sealed the Lord Jesus. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away. Mary, coming through the tomb, finding the stone gone, went back and got Peter and the other disciples that was with him. They went in the tomb, and there they found that Jesus was gone.
Hallelujah.
Linen clothes laying off to one side. But the napkin was folded, the scripture says, in a place by itself. In a place by itself. I think there's something special here that I'd just kind of like to show you for a couple of minutes tonight. I noticed that folks, when they see a fire truck, they like to follow the fire truck. Because you see, that usually means there's a fire somewhere. Or a false alarm one. There's a fire, there's a lot of excitement. I'll never forget while I was preaching in Barberton, Ohio, a couple of years ago, the Akron Baptist Temple burned to the ground. One time that was one of the biggest Baptist churches in the world. We watched that thing burn down. We drove by it that night and saw smoke coming out of the roof, and so we called the fire department. And they came with their fire trucks, and people began to come from miles around. They began to block off the streets and even jammed up the interstates from people stopping to watch the fire. Big fire. Firemen was getting hurt and carried off in ambulances. Of course, we picked up the paper a couple of days later and read that there was two suspicious-looking fellows standing on such and such corner that are being summoned for questioning, or if you can identify them, call us. And as I read the description of these fellows, it was talking about me and the guy that called the fire department. We'd been standing out there in the street trying to flag down reporters and everybody else, and they thought we had, I guess, set the fire. But because it was a fire, people was attracted to it, and they followed the fire truck. Also, I noticed that people follow an ice cream truck because they can never catch the thing, they can get them an ice cream. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't hear Mama calling me for supper, but I could hear that bell on the ice cream truck about 2 miles away. Because you see, there was something good about it. But there's another type of vehicle that I've noticed that a lot of people don't follow just for the excitement of seeing what will happen, and that's a hearse. You see, not many folks follow a hearse. If there's a funeral procession going by, and the people that knew the person that died, they follow the hearse to the cemetery, but there's no big commotion because it's not exciting like a fire or rewarding like an ice cream truck. And so you see, when that old hearse goes by, that's representing a part of life that we don't understand. Death is a phase of life that we don't really understand too well. And even in all of our knowledge and technology and all the study of life after death, there's still a lot of people today that are afraid to die. Because you see, that's that door that we don't like to enter because we don't know what's on the other side of it. That's that part of life that we try not to think about too often. And so folks don't follow a hearse to a cemetery because they pretty well know what's going to happen. But you see, I do find one man that walked on the face of the earth that he didn't follow after fire wagons necessarily. He didn't go looking for an ice cream truck. But because, you see, he understood that phase of life called death. Hallelujah. He followed after the hearse because he wasn't afraid to die. He wasn't afraid of death. That one figure who walked upon the sandy seashores of Galilee, that man called Jesus, he said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And so as the funeral procession went by, he stood out in the road and flagged them down. And they said, "What do you want, sir?" He said, "Open the casket." "Well, sir, we've just come out of Nain, and this body in this casket is just widow's only son. And don't disgrace her or embarrass her by looking in the casket. The funeral's over." But Jesus said, "Just open up the casket. This funeral hadn't even begun." Well, sir, he's in his final stages now. He's in a place called death, and there's nothing you can do for him now. Everybody's tried, the doctors and the physicians, but Jesus said, open up that casket because I've got life that I want him to live. Now, when the casket was open and he spoke to the boy, he come out of that casket and walked among them because he's not afraid of death. And when he speaks to death, then death has to flee and life comes back. Hallelujah. At another place, he said, this daughter's not sleeping. But you see, the crowd said, no, Lord, she's dead. She's been dead for quite a while now. We're standing here mourning. The last days of mourning's almost over. You're a little late to be here. But Jesus said, she's just sleeping. Well, sir, we checked the pulse and she's not breathing and there's no heartbeat. But he said, damsel, I say to you, arise. And when he said the words, she come forth. Hallelujah. And at the tomb of old Lazarus, while Lazarus had been dead so long, he stunk, they said. And Jesus said, well, roll the stone away anyway. Well, Lord, he's been here 4 days, and he stinks like a skunk, and he's just gone. If you'd have been here sooner, well, everything would have been better. If you'd have just got here when you're supposed to. You see, a lot of folks think that God is always too late to answer their prayer. But I want to tell you something tonight, church. God is never too early, and he's never too late. But God will get there right on time. Hallelujah. Some folks, they might wonder how come God didn't lead them to this truth many years ago. Why did he wait till they was up in years? Or why did he wait so late to reveal to them the truth? Well, the matter of fact is, a few years ago, you wouldn't accept it, and Jesus would have been a little too early. But because you have been revealed the truth of Jesus Christ, and because he knows more about you than you know about yourself, and he came right when he was supposed to. Some folks give up. They think God ain't going to answer their prayer. They prayed a many times for such and such to happen in their life, and they think that God has already forgotten them, passed over, and everything's over with, and God won't hear their cry. But my friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus got to Lazarus' tomb 4 days late because that was when it was ripe for a revival. Hallelujah. Some of you might have been praying that God would save your wayward children, or touch your lost companion, and you think God don't hear you cry tonight. But I want to tell you, folks, don't give up. Jesus is here tonight, right on time, and he hears you cry, and he's going to answer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And so Jesus spoke and said, remove the stone. Well, Lord, I don't know if we ought to do this or not. There's a lot of folks that God wants to give them victory. He gets there on time to do it. But you see, a lot of times there's a few hindrances in their life that they've got to roll back themselves. You know, God's willing to save you. God's willing to do a work for you. God's willing to heal your body. But you've got to have that faith to push back the barriers in your life, the things that are hindering you, and accept God's will. There's some folks, they want God to do the work for them, but they're not willing to push back the stone or the barriers or the things that hinder them to let God have his way or his will in their life. But my friend, if those people had not rolled the stone away from Lazarus' tomb, then Lazarus would have remained dead, even though God could raise him from the dead. But when they went and rolled the stone away, friend, when they got the hindrances and the barriers out of the way, then God said, let there be a revival. Lazarus, come forth. And when he said that, Lazarus come walking out of the tomb, and he was made whole and was alive and doing well. God's got a revival for us tonight. If we're willing,
to let God have his way. But in order to do that, we got to say, get out of the way, flesh. Get out of the way, self. Get out of the way, person. I've got to have a revival in my soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We let things hinder us sometimes from the revival that we need. I tell you, we can just push back the things that bother us and hinder us and block us from the blessings of God, and then we can have a revival.
Amen.
But Jesus wasn't afraid of death.
Amen.
He wasn't afraid of death.
That's right.
In fact, he made death flee. He made life come in.
Glory.
You know, I've thought of the words he told Martha. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And though a man believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That word resurrection means revival of the dead. Revival of the dead. And though a man were dead, yet he believe on me, yet shall he live. That wasn't talking about the physical body laying there in the grave. They talking about that man that was dead because of sin. That spiritual man had not felt the power of the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The Scripture says, if it dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. So the revival of the dead was walking among them. You see, the reason why Jesus was not afraid of death was because death is a result of sin. James 1 and 15 says that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And so death was the result of sin. The sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden back in the first creation of mankind. There in that first man, Adam, there was sin there, and because of sin, then there was the spiritual death. And they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. Also, we have to die because there was sin. We have to die the physical death. And you see, so death is the result of sin. And when sin entered the picture, and then mankind had to die. And so, you see, when Jesus come to walk on this earth, he was that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That would remit the sins of mankind. And so when he walked that perfect lamb upon this earth, he too had to die a death. Because, you see, that was the way that he was going to conquer death. Because down through time, when men died, they didn't rise again. In fact, the Scripture says, by one man's disobedience, many became sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through eternal life. By who? By Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he was the only one that could take from the grips of evil and sin the power of death. So he too, wrapped in flesh, died the death of the flesh so that he could take up the body again and overcome sin so that you and I would not be afraid of the power of death, that we are to die. Oh, we might die, but because of Jesus, we can live again. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he died that death in the flesh. And when they put him in the sepulcher, there they left him. But when he arose again, the Bible said that he put the napkin in a place by itself. When Mary and Peter and John came to the sepulcher, there they found that napkin folded in a place by itself. They had given up hope that there would ever be life again. But that old empty tomb revealed that there was a little hope, because the napkin was in a place by itself. You see, there's an old southern tradition that When a man is eating a meal, if he's called away in the course of that meal for the telephone or if someone's there to see him, he's not finished with his meal when he just lays the napkin to one side of his plate, folds it up, and that lets the waiter or the waitress know that he's not finished with his meal, that he's just been called away on business, and that he's going to come back and finish the course of his dinner. But if he's through, he takes his napkin and he wads it up, and you've probably seen this in several restaurants, he just throws the napkin in his plate. And that's to let the waitress or waiter know that he's finished with his course and that he wants them to take his plate away. But when Jesus went away, my friend, he didn't take the napkin and wad it up and throw it at one end of the sepulcher. But when they discovered it, they discovered a napkin wrapped in its place, folded in a place by itself. And to let them know that he was not finished with his course, that he was not going to be gone forever, but that he had come again to finish that which he had started. Oh, my friend, I want you to know, I'm sure they didn't have any southern tradition in Jerusalem, but I do believe he took time to let those disciples know, for they did not know the scripture. He let them know by a little sign. He had taken time to fold the napkin, to let them know that he was coming back, hallelujah, to redeem his church, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
And so he came back for the lonely. That old napkin was folded for the lonely. You see, the Bible says that Mary come out to the sepulcher early in the morning, before the sun had even come up. She slipped out to that old cemetery there to pay her last respects to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Finding that old empty tomb. It was lonely out there. It was lonely.
Right.
By herself. That old family cemetery. But I like what the angel said. For there was angels that spoke to her and said, Mary, seek ye the living among the dead? For he is not here.
Hallelujah.
He is alive. He don't dwell in dead places.
Right.
Did you not see the linen clothes lie and the folded napkin?
Right.
He don't dwell in dead places.
That's good.
He dwells where things are alive because he's not captivated by death.
Right.
But oh, he is victory over death. In fact, Paul says, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? For you see, God don't dwell in dead places. Oh, my friend, when our services resist, we don't celebrate a figure, a historian, a man of yesteryear that just walked and died. He's not just the story of a man that died on a cross. But you see, he rose again and he walked among us because you see, he came back for the lonely people. He came back for the lonely people. Lonely people. There's a lot of lonely people in the world today. They're born lonely and they die lonely. But there's a napkin that says, he come back for the lonely. Mary said, please tell me, gardener, where you've laid him. I know that the scripture says that a man that hangs on a tree is the curse of God. And I know you probably laid him in a grave to some mark. But oh, friend, please, gardener, tell me where you've laid him. And in that lonely place, not knowing what happened to the master, thinking that grave robbers had taken him or the gardener had placed him in a grave that wasn't marked. In that lonely, lonely time in her life, Jesus said, Mary, Mary. And when he said, Mary, She thought he was a gardener, but all of a sudden she realized that she was talking to someone more than just a gardener. She was talking to Rabboni. Rabboni! What's that mean? That means master. Master of what? Master of death, burial, and resurrection. The reason he wasn't in the tomb was because he was standing by her when she was lonely. And my friend, you may be lonely tonight, but oh, you don't think you've got to die lonely, because you see, Jesus floated the baptism and came back for lonely people.
Hallelujah. Came back for the lonely. And he came back for the fearful. For verse 19 of John, the 20th chapter where I read tonight, said that the disciples was hiding in fear of the Jews. They was afraid that if they was discovered, then they too might have to die a terrible death, because they had been identified with the name of Jesus. My friend, I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. We don't have to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. I was in school, in grammar school. You know, the first day of school, they always wanted to know what your name was. I'd tell them, my name's Russell Handel. Then they wanted to know what your daddy did for a living. I told them my dad didn't make a living. He is a preacher. I didn't know preachers made livings. Oh, he's a pastor. Well, where does he preach? I'd say, no, I'm church. What church? I'm hearing on Sunday. Can you speak up? I'm hearing on God. Can't understand you. Well, Pentecostal church. Oh, I hate to tell them. Oh, the Pentecostal church. I can tell by the way they said, oh. They knew what we believed. They knew how we acted. I felt myself turning red, my freckles jumping out and turning green. Oh, yeah, you're some of those Jesus people. Jesus only. I don't like that expression. I'm not just Jesus only. I'm Jesus everything. Hallelujah. I'm not just only. I'm everything on Jesus. He's everything to me. He's not just one or two things. He's everything for me. I don't have to be afraid to face this world. He came back for the fearful. Hallelujah. I don't have to be afraid of folks being afraid of us. I listened to the radio program today after Brother Rutledge's program. One of the songs that they sang in that radio program was, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And I thought, my, what a powerful song. But then it ended that chorus by saying, Holy, 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 Blessed Trinity. I said, now wait just a minute, they contradicted themselves. They said, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then in the same course, they ended with, Holy, 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 Blessed Trinity. That's a contradiction. So when you say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, when you say Almighty, you're saying the one who has all might and power, none other besides the Almighty. So how can you have an Almighty and a Blessed Trinity? You can't. When you've got the Almighty, you've got Jesus, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Hallelujah. He came back for the fearful. They was afraid that if they was identified with Jesus, they might have to die too. But oh, my friend, I want to tell you something. We don't have nothing to be ashamed of or to hang our head about. Are to be afraid of. We've got Jesus, and he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I've got Jesus, Brother Sammy. He came back for the fearful. There's the folks afraid to lay down at night, afraid they'll die. There's some that's afraid to lay down, go to sleep, because they're afraid that when they do, the rapture takes them. You shouldn't live in that kind of fear. In fact, the rapture shouldn't scare anybody. That is something we ought to rejoice in. That's the hope of the church someday, be with God. Hallelujah.
We don't have nothing to be afraid of. He came back for the fair. He came back for the downhearted. For there was two on the road to Emmaus. They said, oh, revival's over. I'll never have another chance. Never have another chance to experience an old revival like he had when Jesus was here. Days of miracles are gone. But while they was walking down the road to Emmaus, Jesus came to them. What you're so discouraged about? Well, haven't you heard? They crucified this Jesus. He could heal the sick and raise the dead. Oh, well, I guess I am kind of strange in Jerusalem. I've been gone about 3 days. Jesus could have told them that. He started with Moses and the prophet and told them the law of God. And when they got to Emmaus, they began to break the bread. Jesus blessed it. And when he did, their eyes was open and they realized they'd been talking with the Lord. They ran back to Jerusalem and told the disciples, hey, we've been with Jesus. How do you know you've been with Jesus? Well, because we were discouraged, heartbroken. We'd given up. But oh, as he talked to us, how our hearts did burn within us. Friend, I want to tell you something. He's come back for those that are discouraged, that think that God can't hear them tonight, and that God don't care. That God don't care how their lives are. Friend, I want to tell you, there's a folded napkin to let us know that God's not finished. Hallelujah! That he overcame the power of death so that we would not have to be discouraged. Hallelujah. He came back. Hallelujah. He came back, of course, for the sick. He came back for the unbeliever. Thomas said, I don't believe it till I touch the nail prints. He said, I don't care about your napkins. I don't care about the empty tomb. I don't care about the stone being rolled away. I don't care. I won't believe it till I touch the nail prints. My friend, he got a chance. Jesus come in her midst and said, come here, Thomas, you unbeliever. Touch these nail prints. See, those nail prints was a proof of redemption. And when Thomas touched the nail prints, that was proof to him that Jesus had died and rose again. And out of all the disciples, it only records that Thomas touched the nail prints. I'm sure they all did, but he had a direct invitation to touch the nail prints. And out of all the dispensations of times and generations of people, there's only one group, one age, that's had an opportunity to touch the proof of their redemption time and time again. They've got a special invitation, and that's the church age. And it's this group of people. For every time you speak in tongues, you're touching the proof of your redemption one more time. You spoke in tongues last night, that's a proof that you're still saved. You speak in tongues tonight and get a blessing of the Holy Ghost, that's proof that Jesus is still alive and doing well. That's a proof that you still touch the proof of your redemption. I want you to know tonight, there is a folded napkin in an empty tomb. To all of those that are lonely, to all of those that are fearful, to all of those that are discouraged, to all of those that are sick, to all of those that are unbelieving, there is proof that he is alive and doing well tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's time you know Jesus. I said, it's time you know Jesus.
Right.
It's time you know Jesus.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you.
He has not left us alone just to face death by itself.
Thank you.
But he said, we'll not have you be ignorant, brother, and those that are already asleep, those that are just asleep. Referred to those dead in Christ as being asleep. Paul said, but we shall be caught up together with them in the air. We've got more than just a folded napkin tonight. We've got the promise of God. For behold, I send my promise upon you. Hallelujah. The promises of God cannot fail. He's here tonight. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? There's an empty tomb. Gone, the stone is rolled away. Gone, the stone is rolled away. We preached for a preacher in Texas. And one night, this pastor's wife told me and my wife, she said, not long ago, my father died.
And they called the family around before he died, and he was in a coma. The doctor said, you can try to talk to him, but I don't think he'll respond. This pastor's wife told me, she said, all my brothers and sisters have failed God. I'm the only one out of all the kids that's serving the Lord today. She said, but we went into that hospital room where my father was dying. In a coma, he did not respond to anybody. She said, I watched as my brothers went over and talked to Dad, and Dad didn't respond. Watched as my sisters went over and talked to Dad, but Dad did not recognize him. They'd say, Dad, this is your son, Bill, or John, whatever his name was. He wouldn't respond. Dad, this is your daughter, Kathy, Susan, whatever their name was. He didn't respond. She said, I watched as all my brothers and sisters left the bedside weeping because in their dad's last dying moments, he did not recognize them or their name. She said, when it became my turn, I went over to the bedside, took Dad by the hand. She said, I just leaned down close to his ear, and I said, Jesus. 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 And she said, when I said, Jesus, a man that had not responded in weeks to anybody, she said, he squeezed my hand, Brother Hamby, and a big old smile broke out on his face. Because a man at the point of death did not recognize his kid's name, but he recognized the name of Jesus. He wasn't afraid to die because he had Jesus. And he knew that he would rise again and be with the Lord. I want to tell you something. If I go out of here tonight, if I have an accident and I cannot know anybody, don't come tell me who you are. Just come say, Jesus. He's not finished with this work. He's still doing a work in me. Whether this be the night that I die, I'm not afraid. He's not finished. He'd come back for those that are afraid to die. Hallelujah. He's given us His promise, which is the Holy Ghost. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that dwell in you shall also quicken your mortal body. Can you see the folded napkin tonight? Don't you think it's time that you get Jesus in your life? Don't you think it's time you realize that the promise is to you and your children and to all that are far off? Even as many as the Lord our God shall call, shall we stand. I feel the presence of God in this place tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He loves you.
Hallelujah.
Right now.
Right now. Reach out and touch Him.
Yeah,
yeah. Jesus is here. Are you lonely tonight?
Yes, who is He?
Hallelujah, are you lonely tonight? Are you afraid of death? Meet Jesus tonight. He's still alive. He's come to give life. He is the resurrection and the life. Right now. Oh, let's sing at church. Yes, Jesus. Right. How about a Holy Ghost receiver? Can you make your way? Jesus isn't through with you. He's folded the napkin. He folded the napkin. I'm not through. The grave couldn't hold me. This isn't the final resting place. But I'm coming back to save the lost and the lonely, the fearful and the discouraged. Oh, I tell you, people are coming to this altar tonight because they realize that there's still hope in Jesus Christ. He's not just a figure that died on a tree, placed in a grave, but He arose from the grave the third day. Hallelujah. And He's here tonight. Oh, let's sing it again as everybody comes.
Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is here tonight. The Holy Ghost is here tonight.